Diane Kuja-Hills is joining us from My Brother's Table, their executive director. Diane, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, here we are into December 2022, My Brother's Table celebrating 40 years this year, as I understand it. And I guess set the table, if you will, for us as to what the work is that you guys are doing right now in 2022.
So our mission is the same as it's ever been. It's to nourish our neighbors every day through hospitality, free meals, and unconditional love. And the way we do that is we provide free meals to anybody who needs them. It's a very simple process. We're a hospitality-based charity, so anyone can come in, ask for what they need, and they get what they need. We've changed a bit since the pandemic. So since March of 2020, our meals are all to go. We stay open 6 hours a day, and people can come in and either get a cup of coffee, or if it's lunchtime, they can get sandwiches and soup and snacks. And then around 4 o'clock, we switch to a hot meal for dinner. We've seen an explosion in need and also the number of meals that we're producing since March of 2020. So, yeah, we're very busy, and we're completely privately funded. We don't get any government grants of any kind. We raise all our budget every year over and over again. And we have a lot of great core of volunteers that help us get our work done, too.
And I know some numbers that you and I have talked about before we started the interview. 2019, 200,000 meals or thereabouts served at My Brother's Table. Now, well, in 2021, it was 1,023,000 meals.
Yep, that was that was quite a year. So when the pandemic started in March, so the first year of the pandemic, 2020, so it was like, you know, three quarters of a year, we served about 800,000 meals. And that was quite a shock to us, you know, to sort of go from what we thought was busy to something that was, you know, completely busy. And then we thought the numbers would drop, but really, 2021, it was, you know, over 1 million meals, and this year we're going to be very close to, if not over 1 million meals again. And I think part of the reason for that is that the financial status of people, it has just become really difficult. You know, housing is very expensive, and I think anyone who's been to a grocery store knows how expensive food is. And people in our neighborhood and nearby, their incomes aren't, high enough to be able to weather those increases in prices. So they turn to us for food, and then they save their money and pay their rent with that or other expenses they have. So in some ways, you know, it's been shocking to us to see such need. But on the other hand, it's been very gratifying and heartwarming to see the community support our work and make sure that everybody is able to get a meal if they need one.
No, absolutely. And that need is not going down. It's going to be going up if you would if you listen to what's happening economically and so on, and even with inflation as well, for sure.
Yeah,
it's not going to get any better for a while.
And I think for us, too, our costs have gone up. You know, we served in our dining room. You know, we only have about 120 seats in there. So obviously we can't do 1 million meals with just 120 seats. But now everything's packaged to go, so we have to pay for the packaging, and then just the cost of food has really, you know, risen dramatically. And even little things like that people don't necessarily think about, you know, the gas for our stoves has gone up in price, and employee costs, and, you know, all those different things. But everybody's in the same boat, I think. We're all sort of trying to figure out this new reality that we live in, and, we're in it together.
Well, tell me a bit about your fundraising piece, because the need is there, but it sounds like the response, as you were mentioning earlier, to the need has been there as well. I think it's remarkable that you've been able to increase as you've been able to increase.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long we can, you know, keep this pace as far as the fundraising. Hopefully we can just keep doing it as long as we need to. I often use this analogy of, people became really aware of hunger and food insecurity, in the early times of the pandemic. And I always say it's like a lighthouse, you know, the light kind of shines and it's turning around, and then all of a sudden it's shining on hunger, and then it kind of moves away a little bit. But hopefully people realize that food insecurity and hunger are still really important issues to pay attention to, especially locally where, you know, housing costs are quite high. And we do our own fundraising. We haven't had an in-person large event since the pandemic. We did have a walk that was outdoors back in October, and that was great. And we have a few other little tricks up our sleeves, like we're selling products like a cookbook and some other kitchen items that people might, you know, want to give as gifts over the holidays or just to have around their house. I have a couple things in my own house. They're very attractive looking things. And we're trying different things to bring in money and keep the lights on and, you know, food on the table.
Absolutely. Let me just mention that on this post, there is the store piece here where you mentioned the items for sale and the cookbook and so on. So tell me more about that, and people can get to that either through your website or to the link right on our post here on our website. So just tell me more about that and how that cookbook came about, if you will.
Sure. So the cookbook it started off as a very tiny project where we thought, oh, let's gather a few recipes from some of the local restaurants and, you know, we'll use them somehow in fundraising. And then it morphed into this really beautiful cookbook. There's beautiful pictures in it. It tells the story of My Brother's Table. We have celebrity chefs who donated recipes to the book, and there's some pictures from them as well. And there's everybody from, like, you know, a celebrity chef to some of the church groups who've been, you know, cooking for us since we opened 40 years ago. So there's something in there for everybody. There's desserts, there's healthy food, there's all kinds of things. But they're all people who are somehow related to the table and wanted to help us with our mission. And, it's great. If you're looking for something unique to give as a gift, it's a great thing, or if you just want to have it in your house.
Yeah, so mentioned desserts. That book will be flying off the shelves there.
Yeah. We've tried a lot of the recipes here, and they're great.
Okay, that's great. And you mentioned some other kitchen items and stuff, so people can click on that and see those. Is there one item that you could just mention to us other than the cookbook?
Sure. We have a really nice bamboo, sustainably produced bamboo cutting board, which is there comes in two different varieties. They're really pretty. And then we also have a nice serving platter that's you can put it in the oven, the dishwasher, the microwave. It's pretty versatile and seems pretty popular. And things come in three colorways, so should go with most people's decor.
Nice. You know, I was going through you and I did an interview 5 years ago now, and I went through, I saw the pictures there. So I'm using some of the old pictures from on this post down below from 5 years ago. But I also wanted to tip people off to the, through the years, if you will. You have a post, a tab on your website, through the years, with some photos and stories and text and so on, which we have a link on our website as well. But that really does kind of tell the story of My Brother's Table, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's probably my favorite thing on our website because it does tell our story. And I'm sure a lot of local people can see some of those older pictures and maybe recognize a parent or a grandparent or, you know, somebody they know. And it really talks about the roots of the table, how we really were something that the local community came together with a lot of volunteer effort and created this thing that is still going 40 years later. You know, we are, you know, maybe look a little bit different, but the actual mission hasn't changed at all since when we started in 1982.
Is there anything else on your mission that you're doing? I know you did a number of different things like 5 years ago, but, you know, maybe the pandemic impacted those things. You had a clinic there or something or other, but do you still do stuff like that, or is that became difficult? Yeah.
Yeah, we're in partnership with Lynn Community Health Center. So we built out a clinic space off of our dining room, and we've been doing vaccines there, and it's been very busy. And then part of that partnership actually started something new for us, which is we provide meals to a medical respite that Lynn Community Health Center and LifeBridge, they run it. And it's a place where people who are homeless or you know, maybe couch surfing or live in a difficult, you know, not optimal housing, can go to stay when they're recuperating from an illness or surgery or getting ready to prepare for surgery. They can stay there and have their health needs met. And we do the meals for them, and we do meals for a lot of different places, too. Some of the local shelters have overflow at local hotel motels, and we provide the meals to those folks. And yeah, so we have a lot of meals on site, but we do quite a few meals that are remote as well.
Busy, Man, that you are busy in your staff and crew over there for sure. I got to ask you one other thing here. So you've been there as executive director in that role for maybe 13 years, right? And you've been on and off, I mean, been working there at some different capacity for maybe 30 years or so, maybe a little over 30 years. But so how do you see how has the place changed? You know, from the outside, it kind of looks the same, right? But from the inside, how has that changed? How would you describe that change?
Sure. I mean, I always joke about my meteoric 30-year rise to the top here at my brother's table. But I think, you know, the thing that for me that is the same is really that hospitality, the person-to-person interaction, and people really showing how they care about other people who are, you know, going through some struggles and some hard times. And that really hasn't changed at all. Some of the faces have changed. You know, sadly, you know, we've lost quite a few guests during the course of the pandemic, especially in the very beginning. And it's, you know, a lot of our longtime folks have passed on, and that's been, you know, really sad for us that people feel like family to us here. So I think that's been hard. But we also see, you know, we've had a lot of new volunteers who started to come here, and it's great to see, especially like now we have like second and third generations for volunteers who started in the early days. Their children and now grandchildren are volunteering. And, you know, it's really just a very beautiful thing when you see people who are reaching out to people that maybe are a completely different life that they have, and they're just trying to cross that bridge by sharing some food with people. It's really lovely.
I do want to ask, you read my mind in a way. I wanted to follow up on volunteers, because the organization couldn't do what it does without volunteers, and there's so many people that volunteer in organizations. Maybe tell me more about that piece, and I know there's a tab on your website to volunteer, so there must always be a need for that as well.
Yeah, we definitely always have a need, and to be fair, a few of our volunteers who are older, you know, just since the pandemic, they really haven't been able to come down and volunteer. So we do often have shortages. Usually, you know, this time of year is pretty good for us as far as volunteers are concerned, but as soon as January hits, it gets very tight for us. So we have a quick sign-up on our website, just if you want to pick a slot for a couple hours. It's really easy to do. You just click on it and put in your name and email. And, you know, I think, you know, people think of us for volunteering around holidays, but we really need help. We're open 365 days a year, holidays, snowstorms, whatever. So if you're kind of an intrepid person and you'd like to come down and middle of a blizzard, that's okay. And or if you just want to sign up online and pick a date that works for you, that'd be great for us, too.
Good. Well, Diane, anything else that I didn't ask you that you want to share with our listeners about My Brother's Table and, you know, the holiday season and, of course, winter right on our doorstep here?
Yeah, I think I'd just like to say that, you know, we are really grateful for the support of the community over the past 40 years. There is no way that this would have lasted as long as it has, or that we'd be able to get the work done or make it through the pandemic serving over a million meals without this community embracing us and really, you know, helping us get this work done. And I guess I would add to that, the work isn't done yet. You know, the economic impacts of the pandemic are still affecting a lot of people in the city of Lynn, and, you know, we continue to need people's help, and we're extremely grateful for it as well.
Well, Diane, thanks so much for your time and for the work that you do and everyone there does to do what you do and nourish the greater Lynn area there from My Brother's Table. So again, thanks so much for your time and sharing all of this information with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Diane Kuja-Hills with us here on msonewsports.com.